24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked. Keep it locked.
Thank you for choosing to listen to this message by Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ in Tallahassee, Florida. We believe that you'll be blessed by the Word of God shared during this time. Now here's Pastor Edwards.
Hello, this is Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ, and I ask that you please support this ministry by making a donation of any amount today. You can give by way of the Cash App, and our cash tag is $THCOGIC. That's $THCOGIC. You can also text to give by texting the letters LK and the number 638 to the telephone number 41444. And that's LK638 to the number 41444. You can also go online to our website. That's trueholinesscogic.org. That's trueholinesscogic.org. Click on the give icon in the upper right-hand corner, and you can use our online form, or you can choose PayPal to make your donation. And remember, a gift of any amount will help us to continue to spread the gospel. And may God richly bless you for your generous gift today. And we at True Holiness thank you for your support of the ongoing work of this ministry. And now for today's message.
Amen. I'm going to ask that you get your Bibles, and we are going to cover some scriptures, and then you may have your seat. I'd like for you to go, first of all, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, chapter 3. Second Timothy. When you have it, please say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Can we read it all together? 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I want to read us to read verses 1 through 3. And the word of the Lord reads, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." Oh, hallelujah. Does that sound like something going on today? Turn with me now to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 1. And then we will go from verse 1 to 26 and 27. So John 14, verse 1. And then verses 26 through 27. And the word of the Lord reads, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Verse 26 and 27. "The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh, my God. That's some powerful words right there. I ask you to read one more with me, and then you can take your seat. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Matthew 11 and 28. And the word of the Lord reads, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I'm going to read 29. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest." Somebody say rest. Rest unto your souls. You may be seated. You may be seated. What I'm going to talk about today, I've spoken on various occasions in different ways. But there seems to be a heaviness around the country, around the city, around the county, even within the body of believers. There's just some heaviness, even with me. And I spoke to God, and I had to talk with him, and he put this on my heart for today. Because there are a lot of things that I was not concerned about, as I should have been, just concerned, I was worried about. There were some things that I was just letting consume me and overwhelm me. And some of it had to do with the ministry here at True Holy. Because I said, God, this thing is huge. It's big. And what am I supposed to do? Am I doing this? I'm doing that. But it doesn't seem to be going the way I think it should be going. And I'm worrying whether or not am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I have so many things on my mind. And I was just so consumed and worried. And God said to me, "Upon this rock I build my church." Vincent, it's not your church. It's not your members. It is my church, and all I need you to do is to be still and hear my voice. I don't need you to worry about provision. I don't need you to worry about people. I don't need you to worry about musicians. I don't need you to worry about finances. I need you to be still and hear my voice. Because a lot of times we don't listen, nor do we hear the voice of God. We listen to other voices, including our own. And our own voice will talk us out of things. And listening to other people, we will talk ourselves out of God's plan and talk ourselves into some things that could be very detrimental. God says, "Hear my voice." And he took me there and he gave me this topic. He said, "Vincent, believe in Christ and let worry go." Believe in Christ and let worry go. Subtitle: stop worrying, or worrying will stop you. Stop worrying, or worrying will stop you. And I had to say, "Okay, Lord, all right." And the reason I led off with that scripture from 2 Timothy, because when we turn on the news, we turn on the TV, we turn on the internet, and we look at the news and things that are going on, and oh my God, it's just scripture being fulfilled. Perilous times. Things are going on all over the place. Tragedies, destruction, death. Children are missing. People just walking out of their homes. Alzheimer's, dementia, just walking away. We have scandals with ministry leaders, national leaders, political mess. I'm just going to leave it right there. We have countries that are in financial crisis feeding global instability. And when you look at all of that, you ask the question, should I be worried? Perilous times. What does perilous mean? Full of danger. Hard to do, to take, to approach. Hard to even bear. Troublesome. Harsh. Fierce, savage, and perilous. Would that describe our world today? And we as Christians, we want to, Lord, what should I do? What should I do? I'm going to tell you, if we believe in Christ, we need to let worry go. Let it go. What does worry really mean? It's that deep anxiety. Something that distracts the mind and draws a person's mind in different directions. When you are worried about something, you can't think about other things and everything goes awry. Why do we worry? Some of us worry about safety, security, we worry about our health, worry about whether or not I'm going to have money for the next day. We have problems with people. We have pressure on our jobs. We have problems with family members, friends, and people that don't even like us. And we wonder, oh, Lord, worry. We worry about the economy, about trials. We worry, but God says, if you believe in me, let worry go. You got to let it go because you have to understand you need to control the controllables. I have no control over the economy. I have no control over what's going on in somebody else's house and they come to work all upset and they yell and scream at me because I work for them. I have no control over that, but I do have control on how I act, react, and respond to them. What am I saying? I can control how I deal with the pressures and what's going on. How can I control it? I can control it by way of God. See, turn with me to Philippians. And I'm going to work you today with the Bible. I'm going to work you today with the Bible because this thing is on my heart because God had to speak to me because I was worried, but he said, Vincent, let it go. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Why should we not worry? Because worry is sin. Worry is sin because anytime you disobey God, disobedience is sin. When we look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. What is Philippians 4 and 6 saying? Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Sit back. Relax. But if you do worry, you're violating Philippians 4 and 6. Worrying is unbelief. Because if you're worrying about things and Jesus has already told you it's going to be so, you have unbelief. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. Hallelujah. And if you have time, I want you to read on your own verses 25 through 34. But I want to focus in on verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things? Those things up above. You have people these days that are worrying about the wrong things. We're worrying about, where am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? But this passage of scripture tells us we should not worry, because God clothes the grass of the field. The birds don't worry about anything. So why are we worried? I'm not saying you just sit back and don't do anything. You have to do something. Just like in school, you have to study. But you don't have to worry about the exam. Because if you've done your part and you get to the exam and you can call on Jesus, he'll do his part, because he said the Holy Spirit will bring things back to your remembrance. So if we've done our part, saints, we don't have to worry. And our part is trusting in the Lord. Another reason we should not worry, because worry can cause you some problems. Worry can cause depression, weight problems, autoimmune diseases, stress. It keep you up at night. You can't even sleep. But God wants his people to have rest. You can get headaches and even panic attacks. That kind of reminds me of all the commercials I see on TV about all these medications. They tell you about this medication to stop this, but then you list all the side effects. It's like, I'd rather keep what I have than take that medication. So why not get rid of worry? Because if you have worry, all these things come along with it. But if you believe in Christ, let worry go. I believe you can fall in either one of three categories. Reason one, why people worry. The reason they worry is because they don't believe. They have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, meaning they're not saved. They have not trusted in Christ, so they have nothing to hold on to. Therefore, they worry. Why? Because they feel that it's all on me. And they find themselves in a position where they are powerless and cannot do anything. So therefore, they worry. And then worry leads them to, I'm reminded of a story, people, a man just comes home and tells his wife and kids, I'm gone. Goes outside and puts a gun to his head and pulls the trigger. Why? Because he was worried. He didn't have a solution. He didn't have Christ. Stop worrying. Worrying will stop you. In that example, worrying stopped him. But then there's this other category. I believe because I'm saved. But I have a misplaced confidence. I'm saved. I've trusted in God. But I have a misplaced confidence. Therefore, I worry. When I say misplaced confidence, my confidence is in my knowledge, my skills, my abilities, my relationships, my connections. But my confidence is not in Christ. I'm saved, but I believe I can do this by myself. But it's not working out. I'm going to tell you why it's not working out. Because you're saved, but you have a misplaced confidence. Your confidence is in yourself, but your confidence should be in Jesus. And I like this example. Why? Because you have Jesus, but you have him on the bench. You have Jesus, but you have him on the bench. It's basketball season now, football coming to a close, college. But you have Jesus, but you have him on the bench. And that's why you worry. And you put everybody in except Jesus. He's sitting there right there on the bench, but you won't put him in the game. He's sitting there, and you look, and your troubles are going on, and you look down the bench, and you ask your assistant coach, who should I put in? And they say, well, Jesus, no, I'm a little short on money. Put Powerball, Lotto, and Cash 3 in the game. Put them in and see what they can do for me right now. I let them stay on the bench, and then it doesn't work out, and you worry. Oh, you can't get what you want. And so you look down. Who else I got on the bench down there? You say, well, take Cash 3 out. Put Hookup in. Put Hookup in the game. I know he can get me something. Hookup in the game. Hookup know everybody. He can go and talk everything. But still, not working out. And you have Jesus sitting down there saying, I'm here. I'm here on the bench. I can play the 1, the 2, the 3, the 4, and the 5 position. All you got to do is put me in the game. Yeah, and then you say, well, pull them out and put my credentials, put my pedigree, my certifications, and my education in the game. Let them play something for me. Let me see what they're going to do. And then all of a sudden, they don't work out, and you run out of people on the bench. You say, well, let me put Jesus in. And then you put him in the game, and then you're hesitant because you still have that misplaced confidence. You put him in, but you won't give him the ball. What am I saying? He says, cast all your care upon me, for he careth for you. You put him in the game, but you won't give him the ball. And you set a screen, set a pick, he wide open. He's like, give me the ball. Let me. No, I'm going to hold on to this problem for a little while. I'm going to hold on to it. For a little while. He's in the game, and it's like nothing's going right. Then you call a timeout. And then you look and say, how many timeouts I got left? They say, that was your last one. You say, well, let me draw up this play for you, Jesus. And this play call, I totally submit to you. And when we totally submit to Jesus, and we take him off the bench, let him go to the table and check in, because we are saved and we believe in him, we no longer have a misplaced confidence. We put it in him. We give him the ball, 3-ball, slam dunk every single time. But if you was like the person number 3 and not have waited, you're a believer, you trust in Christ, that means you trust in him as Lord and Savior, the Word of God, the Logos, you trust in him, and therefore you do not worry. Why? Because the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And see, and when you get to that place and point in time, you don't have to worry about anything, because Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, trust in who? Mm-hmm. Trust in the Lord and lean not what? To your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. What am I saying? Saints of God, if you believe in Christ, let worry go. You need to let it go, because worrying, you're going to stress out. That's why in John 14:1, he says, let not your heart be troubled. No, why are you worried about stuff? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe in me. What he's saying, believe in me. I'm the one who was resurrected. I'm the one, he says, John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is saying, I'm God. Let me handle it. Let me figure it out. Why? Don't let your heart be troubled. Christ is the one and only person who can give you comfort. Faith in Christ can stop your heart from worrying. It'll stop your heart from being agitated. It'll stop you from, I can't go to sleep at night. Trust in the Lord. And then down in verse 26 and 27, the Holy Spirit will comfort you, and you will get that peace. That's what John talks about in chapter 14, that peace. What is that? That it is that peace that you have that brings you security and composure in difficult times and trouble. Peace of God. It'll rule your heart if you just let worry go. Matthew 11 and 28, when we talked about, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And what is he saying? He's talking to everybody who's oppressed by routine, overworked, stressed out, tension, burnout. He calling you. He said, come to me. Come to me. And then he's also calling out to the sinner, those who think they know God and been in church all their lives but don't have a relationship. He said, come on to me. Come to me. Get salvation through me. And then you can just take on my yoke. What does that mean to take on his yoke? Just to place yourself underneath his dominion. And then you can enjoy rest from your stress. Somebody say amen. A lot of us are continuing to endure life by worrying rather than enjoying life by giving everything to Jesus. If you give it over to him, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about where things are going to come from. Why? Because if you put your trust in God, oh, turn with me to Philippians. Y'all know this one. Turn with me to Philippians. 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, but I like 19. I don't have to worry about anything because it says, but my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory. By whom? Christ Jesus. If you believe in Christ, let it go. Sometimes we worry so much and we won't let it go. But I'm going to give you a powerful psalm that will give you an understanding of who God is. Psalm 46. I love this one because when you understand who Christ is in your life, when you understand what he has done and you reflect on the past, you'll understand that God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. Psalm 46, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I want you to understand, no matter where you are, my Bible tells me he's a very present help. You may be on your last. You may be in the midst of turmoil. You may be in the midst of an exam and you're starting to feel a little anxiety. But God said he is a very present help, meaning he is right there with you. Oh, God is there to provide stability in the midst of perilous times, in the midst of everything that's going on. This scripture is saying God is there to provide stability for the saints of God. I like this because if you look at verse 2, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of a sea. Oh, when you start to see earthquakes and buildings falling and mountains and things moving, he's saying, don't worry about it. Because we worry when the most stable things become unstable, but we have to trust and rest in the stability of God. Why? Because he never changes. He never changes. Over in Hebrews chapter 13, it says, Christ, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. James 1 and 17 tells me that there is no variableness in God. God doesn't change. We change. We want to change our minds, our philosophies, how we want to do things. But God hasn't changed. His word hasn't changed. In Psalm 46, just let me know if things start to go awry, I can go to my refuge, my strength, who is God. There's no need for me to worry. I just let it go because I believe in God. Why? Because verse 3 of Psalm 46 lets me know, even if the waters roar and be troubled, and the mountains shake, I don't have to worry because verse 5 and 6 says, God is in the midst of her. He shall not be moved. Nothing will move God. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raised, and the kingdoms were moved, and he uttered his voice. The earth melted. That's some power right there. Nothing can happen. Anything at play can never threaten you because of the presence of God. I like verse 7. the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Why should I worry? I've got total safety and total security right here because God is with us. I like that name, Emmanuel. God with. Why do we worry? We worry because we forget about the goodness of Jesus. We forget about what he has done in the past. We get like the children of Israel, start to mumble and groan because God, you got Moses out here, and Moses brought us out here, and we had it so good in Egypt. No, they didn't. But now you brought us out here to die in the wilderness. God said, you were complaining in Egypt. I brought you out. But that's how we forget about what God has done. Verse 8 and 9. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Oh, my God. Look at what my God can do. What we have to do, I like verse 10. It says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. What is he saying? Don't worry about what they're doing to you. Don't worry about what you're going through. Don't worry about what you have. Just sit tight, be still. I'm going to exalt you because I'm going to be exalted above the heathen. The heathen has no say-so. The heathen can't control me. God is saying, I'm in control. Verse 10 to me says, sit tight. Relax. Don't panic. Don't worry. God is saying, I'm sovereign. I'm in control. Jesus said, I got this. Jesus said, I got this. So if you believe in him, let worry go. Because if you don't stop worrying, worrying is going to stop you. My last passage of scripture to bring this home so you can understand, well, Pastor, you've been talking about, I don't need to worry. You're not in my house. You don't know what's going on. You don't know what I have to deal with. No, I don't know, but God knows. And I know that he is almighty, all-powerful, and all-knowing. You don't know about the bully that's messing with me at school. No, I don't know, but Jesus knows. You don't have to worry about that. Just put your trust in him. I'm going to tell you how to do this thing over in Psalm chapter 37. This is a passage of scripture that I love to help us to understand how to let worry go. I like verse 3, Psalm 37. Verse 3, that first word says, trust. Verse 4, that first word says, delight. Verse 5, that first word says, commit. Verse 7 says, rest. Oh, so you want to know how not to worry. If you believe in the Lord, he is just saying, trust in me, delight in me, commit your ways to me, and take a nap. Take a nap. Let me worry about it. Let me figure it out. Give me the ball and go to sleep. Trust. What does that mean? Trust in the Lord. You just got to trust in him because when you think on the goodness of Jesus, everything that he's done for you in the past, you've trusted him for your salvation. But now all you need to do is trust in him for all the answers. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. Why are you worrying? All you got to do is say, Lord, I don't know which way to go. Lord, I don't know what to do, but your word says trust in you. And I'm going to trust in you. And now, Lord, not only am I going to trust in you, I'm going to delight in you because I know you said you're going to provide my needs. But when things are going wrong, I'm going to say hallelujah anyway. When things are going awry, I'm going to just shout anyway. Why? Because he says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. Some of y'all have some desires of God. But he's saying, just stop worrying. Trust me. delight in me. What is it? Just enjoy me. Just enjoy the goodness. Just enjoy what I've given you. Don't think about what you don't have. Think about what you have and what I've already provided. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow gonna take care of itself. Oh, he provided manna in the wilderness. You think he can't? He fed a whole lot of people. You think he can't feed you? You think he can't feed you? Oh, my God is powerful. And you say, you worried about it. Why? I know the only man who can take 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He asked his disciples, what we got out here? They said, Lord, all we have is 5 loaves and 2 fish. What is that amongst all these people? Oh, what is that in the hands of God? It's enough to feed over 5,000 and have 12 baskets left over. Trust in the Lord. If you look at David, when he went up against Goliath, he didn't worry about the giant. He said, I don't worry about your problems. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? You need to look at your problem and say, what is this problem in light of my big God? I'm going to knock it down, because if he was with David when he slew the bear and the lion, and then David slew Goliath, oh, what is he going to do for me? Because he's a God that changes not. You don't have to worry. Stand up for what you believe in the midst of troubled times. Reminded of the 3 Hebrew boys. They didn't worry about what the king was going to do for them. They said, well, we're not going to fall down and worship you. We're going to say, and he threw them in the fire. But, oh, God was right there with them in the midst of the fire. God is saying, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm reminded of David. And this is what you need to understand. You may be in trouble. Things may be hard, but I'm reminded of David. He said, I was young and now I'm old. But in the midst of when I was born and now that I'm on the verge of dying, and between all those years, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed beggeth bread. What is that saying to me? If I trust in the Lord, delight in him, commit my ways to him, I am righteous and he will never turn his back on me. He will never turn his back on you. He will never abandon you. He will never leave you. You just got to trust in him and not worry. Trust, delight, commit, and rest. This one hits home. And I'm going to tell you, when I finally decided to rest in the Lord, when I finally decided to get some rest in the Lord, put down my manufactured to-do list, put down all the things I thought I should have been doing. And I'm speaking of me, myself, when over Thanksgiving, we went to Orlando. We did absolutely nothing for Thanksgiving. The Lord blessed, had some points, got hotel, and I told my wife, I'm not doing anything. She didn't even have to cook for Thanksgiving. We ate out. But I'm going to tell you something. And I said, I'm not doing anything, but what I did was I rested. I have not had that type of peaceful sleep in a long time. I got away from the midst. I got out of this environment. I got out of all the hustle and bustle, and I got into a place to where I could just relax, meditate on God's word, meditate on the goodness of Jesus, meditate on what he has done for me, and then I realized I could let worry go. Because all of the things I thought I should have been doing, all of the things that didn't get done while I was away, didn't even matter. Did not even matter. And now I understand what my priorities are. Oh, I understand what I must do, and that is rest in the Lord. What does that mean? Just relax and don't react. I don't drink coffee, but if you do, go to Starbucks and get you one of them cafe mochas or whatever they is. Get you a cup of hot tea. Put your feet up. Grab your Bible or put on headphones while somebody is ministering the gospel and just sip on some hot tea and say, Lord, I thank you. It'll take worry off your mind. You'll come back rejuvenated. You'll come back relaxed, and you'll come back with an understanding of, I don't have to worry at all. All I've got to do is believe in Christ. Believe in His Word. His Word is truth. Trust in Him. I don't have to worry, because everything that I need, He already knows about. Everything that I need, He knows. All I have to do is seek Him first. When I put Him first, everything else is all right. Everything else will work itself out. What am I saying today? Don't worry. Let it go. Trust in the Lord. Delight in the Lord. Commit your ways to the Lord. What does that mean? Give it all to Him. Your life, your finances, everything. Give it to Him. Cast your cares on Him. All your discouragement, your despair, your suffering. What does that mean? When you cast it on Jesus, I said, give Him the ball. That's what the scripture means. And just walk away. You know why? Because Jesus not going to worry about it. Jesus not gonna worry about it. Why should He worry? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Why should He worry? He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Why should He worry? He created the heaven and the earth. Why should He worry? He created you. He knows you better than you know yourself. Why should He worry? Give it to Him. But what we do, I'm gonna show you what we do. Oh Lord Jesus, help me, Lord. And we take it back. We take it back. He's saying, cast all your cares on Me. If you believe in Me, let worry go. Take Me off the bench. Put Me in the game. And give Me the ball.
We trust that you've been blessed and encouraged by today's message. For more information about True Holiness, or if you'd like to give a tax-deductible donation to help us continue to spread the gospel, visit us on the web at www.trueholinesscogic.org.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.